apologize right now, man. The allergies have been killing me all week long. So if I'm stopped for a minute, it's because I'm trying to clear my eyes so I can see. Half the time I can't even, my eyes are watering so bad I can't see what I've written or I can't see to read. But we're going to go. We're going to look through this. Some things I'd like to share with you this morning. People are interesting, aren't they? Do you like watching people? I know that some people talk about that. And you go to a ball game or you go somewhere in public, and a lot of times it's more entertaining to look at and look at people and what they're doing and how they're dressed and things that are going on than the game or whatever you've gone to see. And if you've looked at that or seen those things, the peopleofwalmart.com. If you haven't seen that, you need to look at that, because there are some funny things. You ask yourselves, why in the world, or what in the world were they thinking? And you look at someone and go, yeah, I'm not so sure where in the world they found those clothes. Who in the world fixed their hair for them today? I'm not picking on anybody here. But you think about that, and I think, man, people are really interesting. Look with me real quick in Mark chapter 15. In Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 22, the Lord is at the end of His life. And He's gone through a trial, and they've taken Him out. They've hung Him on a cross. And there are a lot of people standing around and watching. And I want to, for a second, to read through this and want to look at some of those people. In Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 22, it says, "And they brought Him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. And they tried to give Him wine mixed with myrrh, but He did not take it. And they crucified Him and divided up His garments among themselves, casting lots for them to decide what each would take. And it was the third hour when they crucified Him, and an inscription of the charge against Him read, 'The King of the Jews.' And they crucified two robbers with Him, one on the right and one on His left. The Scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And He was numbered with transgressors.' And those passing by were hurling abuse at Him and wagging their heads and saying, 'Ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, you save yourself and come down from that cross.' And in the same way, the chief priest also, along with the scribes, were mocking Him among themselves and saying, 'He saved others, but He cannot save Himself.' Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross, so that we may see and believe. And those who were crucified with Him were casting the same insult at Him. And the sixth hour had come. Darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which translated is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, 'Behold, He is calling for Elijah.' And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave Him to drink, saying, 'Let us see whether Elijah will come and take Him down.' And Jesus uttered a loud cry and He breathed His last. The veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion who was standing right in front of Him saw the way He breathed His last, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" If we were able to go back in time and we were able to stop and we were able to look at the cross and what was going on when Christ was crucified, and we look at all the people that were gathered there and we're watching and we're looking and we're saying, all the things that they were talking about and the conversations that were going on, wouldn't it be interesting to watch them and to listen? What are they saying? What are they talking about? Why are they there? What's going on in their minds? And we'll just look at a few of these. First ones that were there were the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, those people. What are they saying? Here are the religious leaders, and what are they talking about? Look, He saved others, but He can't save Himself. And if you remember in Jesus, when He was alive and He was walking around and He was talking, and He would often point to the Pharisees or those religious leaders, and He would say some things about them. He would talk about how they were hypocrites in Matthew chapter 15. And in that same chapter, later on, he says they were the blind leading the blind. Here are the religious leaders. Here are those ones that Christ did not approve of in any way in his life. And now they're standing and watching him crucified. And with a smug look on their face, they're victorious. Look what we finally accomplished. Because for 3 years, every single day, they were plotting what they could do to get rid of him. And finally, they're watching with smiles on their faces. We finally did what we set out to do. What about the crowd? The crowd are just walking around and milling around like crowds often do, but they're hurling insults. There's no one brave enough to really stand up and get up in front of people and talk about anything, but they're just walking by and they're just acting like everybody else, right? It's easy when you're in a mob or in a crowd of people to be just like everybody else. Look at him. Think about all the things that he said. You remember when he said he was going to tear down the temple and he's going to rebuild it in 3 days, and now look at him. He's hanging on a cross and he's dying. And so they're going to keep on. They're going to throw those insults and keep thinking. And you remember what they said a few days earlier? When Pilate was saying, I don't find anything wrong with him. Well, they say, crucify him. Crucify him. That's all they could chant. And he said, let the blood, his blood, the guilt of his blood, let it fall on us and on our children. And now they're too watching him on that cross. They don't even understand why they're there. They don't even understand why this man is really being crucified. They just know that that's what everyone else wants, or at least that's what they perceive everybody else wants. So they're there chanting the same thing, let him die, and hurling all those insults. People are interesting, aren't they? How difficult is it to sell some things to people? Not all that difficult. And then you look and their soldiers are there. And they're doing their job. They were hired to do one thing, and that is to take care of this man. Take him up and crucify him. Put him to death. And they're good at it. And while they're there and they've been beating on him and they put the crown of thorns on his head and they're mocking him because he's a Jew. He's nothing more than a dog, an animal in their minds. Beat him, the crown of thorns, all the thing, and the sign they put above his head. Here is the King of the Jews. What greater insult could they give him than that? To the whole Jewish community, we don't care about you, you're not important, and this is what we think of you. And then we look at them, and they're casting lots, or rolling dice, or however you want to say it, to see who gets his clothes. The man they're just putting to death, and they're gambling over who's going to get to take his clothes home with them. What goes through your mind when you start thinking about people who are so callous to death that they're willing to gamble over the person that they're murdering, his clothes? I want his coat. No, I want it. Well, then let's just gamble for it. While he's up there, raised up, trying and struggling with every ounce of his energy to survive, to get another breath of air. And all they're worried about is his clothes. What good is religion anyway? Do you think they really believe that religion was important at all? I don't think so. And then you stop and you look at their leader. The centurion is there. And when the centurion, and I can just see him, he's the leader and he's not going to be real vocal, but he's going to be standing back and he's going to be watching things. And he's looking at his own men and he's looking at other people and he's watching and he's looking at Jesus. And I can't help but think that at some point in his life, in the last few years, he has seen this Jesus. He's heard him talk or he's heard about him. He knows some things about him. Maybe he knows the claims that Jesus has made. But he's watching him die. And he's watching how he dies. And when Jesus breathes his last, and he sees how the world goes dark, and he witnesses all of those things, he steps back and he looks and he says, surely this was the Son of God, a righteous man. Now, I don't know what the centurion did after that. I don't know where he went. I don't know what he believed. I don't know that he became a Christian. I don't know what happened to him later in his life. But I know right then he stopped and he said, this man was different. Who knows how many people he had put to death before, but he looked at this man and he said, this man is different. He's not like all the others. Surely he was who he claimed to be. Wouldn't you like to have been there and listen to the rest of his conversation? Maybe when he pulled those soldiers to the side, what were they going to talk about? What was going on in their minds? And then you look off in the distance a little way, and there's some of his disciples. And you see Peter. And you know, Peter just ran a few hours before, and he's denying even knowing Jesus. And it says he even called down curses. I do not know this man. 3 times he denied the Jesus that he had just said not very long before that, I'll die for you. There's no way that I'll leave your side. What's going through Peter's mind? What conversation is he having? Maybe one of the other disciples is standing there beside him. Maybe it was his wife or maybe a friend or someone else. And they're standing there and they're watching and they're looking. And what's going through their mind? What are they talking about? Wouldn't it be interesting to be there and listen to them? Maybe he's simply at a distance thinking, how could it have come to this? Man, I was following the one who I became his disciple, the one I knew that was going to become the king, the one that was going to be sitting on a throne. And now look at him. He's hanging on a cross. I don't understand why this is going on. What is happening? How can all the things that we've done, how could they come to this? And then you look over a little ways closer to the cross, and there's John with some of the women. And in the Gospel, John's account, he says he looks and he sees the women and he sees his mother. And he says, behold, woman, thy son, to the disciple whom he loved. And then he said, behold, your mother. And I don't know what's going through John's mind. I don't know what's happening to him. I know he's right there and he's right near the cross. He's at least close enough that Jesus knows who he is and they can look at each other in the eye. And when he talks to him, John is hearing what he's saying. And maybe John is waiting for him to tell him what to do. I don't know. But he's standing right there waiting. This is someone, it says, that Jesus loved. They had that kind of relationship. It does say that he immediately took Jesus' mother into his home and took care of her as his own mother. He's waiting. When you look at the criminals on the crosses near him, and they're listening to all the insults being hurled, and they're feeling the same pain that Jesus is feeling. They're up there hanging, and they're dragging. They're doing everything they can to breathe, and they're listening, and it says they begin hurling insults also. But it also says that one of them looked at or hollered at the other one and said, you know what? You need to be quiet. We're up here because we deserve to be up here. He's completely and totally innocent. He's done nothing worthy to be up here. And then I don't know if he can really turn his head and see where Jesus is or not, but he's talking loud enough for Jesus to hear. And he says, Jesus, remember me. Jesus says, I tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise. What kind of conversation do you think that criminal would have had if he could have gotten off the cross and got down, or a day or two later could have been standing around and talking with the people that were there? What do you think he would have been saying? Wouldn't it be interesting to listen to what he had to say? Isn't it amazing how things change in our lives when things really don't matter? All the possessions that those men had taken, and if they were thieves, all the things that they had stolen, how much did those things matter? All the gold that they had, all the possessions that they owned, what did they matter? Not a thing. And finally, maybe for the first time in his life, this man, this criminal, has finally seen clarity in his life and what is really, really important. And he sees someone who's lived his life so perfectly, and the teachings, and people know what Jesus has been teaching. And he's looking at him and going, man, what I would give to be able to go back and rewind my life and change who I am and change the things that I've done and really become a different person. But it's too late. I made my choices. He said that. And what's happening to me, I deserve. Jesus, remember me. Complete focus changed. Let's stop for a second and think about ourselves. How many of you this morning have looked in a mirror before you came here? You can raise your hand. I'm not taking a picture. Most everybody, whether it was we were tying a tie or some of us that didn't because I can't hardly talk and I wasn't going to wear a tie. But our hair, we're fixing our hair, we're putting our makeup on or the mascara or whatever you do in front of a mirror. But we're all looking at that mirror. We know kind of what we're supposed to look like, but we want to make sure everything is all right. And how funny would it be if we showed up, ladies, and you had mascara on one eye but not the other? Or you put on part of your makeup on one side of your face but you didn't on the other side? Or you got interrupted, guys, and you're shaving and you have whiskers on one side but none on this side? We use that mirror to see who we are and we look at it and we're going, I know what I'm supposed to look like, but what do I really look like? And so this morning, in the few minutes we have together, I want us to look in that mirror for a moment and see who we are. And spiritually this morning, when you look into a mirror of yourself, who do you see? What do you see? When was the last time you spiritually looked in a mirror and said, who am I? Who am I even supposed to be? Do you know who you're supposed to be? And when you hear lessons and things, and we talk about it, and just a few moments ago, we gathered around this table, and we broke bread, and we drank from the cup that represents Jesus' body and His blood that was given for you, and you took that, and you realize that while you were doing that, you were looking in a mirror at who you are. Who did you see? What person was looking back? What reflection was looking back at you while you were breaking that bread and you were drinking that cup? What do you look like this morning? You know, we're looking at those people around the cross. And maybe some of those people are kind of like us. We have a tendency as humans to be the same as always from the very beginning of time. And maybe some of us today, maybe we're kind of like some of those religious leaders. And it's not really, religion's not really something to change me, to make me who I need to be. But it's just a club to be a part of, a social club. And I'm going to go there and I'm going to be there because all my friends are there. It's a good place to go, and there's some really friendly people, or there's some people that I like there, and I'm going to go and do that. Or I'm going to gather around that table, and I'm going to break the bread and drink the cup, because that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what religion is about. We go to church. You ever caught yourself saying that? It's time to go to church, kids. It's time to go to church. I have to go to church Sunday morning. I don't really need Christ to change me. I don't really need Him in my life. I don't really need to look at Him and go, this is who I need to be like and this is who I need to act like. Maybe I'm a little bit like those. Because you know what? I'm really a good moral person. When you look around you, there are a lot of people that are way worse off, aren't they? There's some really not good people in this world. Thank God I'm not one of them. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to take communion. I might even put some money in that plate as it comes by. I'm even probably going to go out to eat lunch with other Christians afterwards. That's what I do on Sundays. That's what it's about. I hope that's not who you see when you look in the mirror. Maybe it's just like one of the crowd, one of those people, that the blind being led by the blind, as the Lord said. What everyone else thinks is okay. I just like being here. Well, I like feeling good. And boy, when we sing those songs, it makes me feel really good. And a lot of times when Chris is preaching, he makes me feel really good because he talks about all the great things that God has done for me and He's given me. And man, it makes me feel really good to be there. And that's why I like to go. Now, I have no real personal convictions about it. It's not what I am. That's what I do. I hope that's not who you see when you look in your mirror. And you look at the rest of these people, and you look at the soldiers, and you know, it's just a job. It's what they do. Maybe we've just gotten to the point where we go to church and we sit on a pew and we sing songs and we do those things, and it's just that. It's a job. It's a thing to do. It's not really all that important. Maybe you're like that centurion. You finally faced the reality. You know what? This Jesus is different. When I start seeing people that are like Him, that have fashioned their life and allow Him to change who they are, it's amazing to see people who have changed their life, isn't it? I look at me and I think, am I that person? If I allowed Jesus to change me, when I look in that mirror at myself, who am I? What do I look like? Am I the one that says, surely this is the Son of God? Surely this is a righteous, perfect, and holy man. This one who says, I need to be like Him. The one who gave His life for me. While He's hanging on that cross, He's looking and He's thinking about me. Is that who I see? Do I see John, the disciple that loved Jesus with all of his heart? Whatever I need to do. If that means I need to take your mother in to live with me and take care of her, I'll do that. It's about relationships. And it's a wonderful thing. When you look in that, do you look at and you see those two criminals, one's mocking Him, or do you see the other one? This morning I want to close with this last, looking at this last criminal. And you hear what he said. He's telling the other one to be quiet. You don't know what you're saying. And he's trying to quiet the crowd. Because that's what everybody out there is doing. They don't believe in Jesus and they don't think He is necessary and they don't even want to know who He is. And yet this one says, you all need to be quiet. Do you have any idea whose presence you're in? This is the Son of God. Changes his life right there. Now, he only had a few moments left to live. But finally, for the first time in his life, he is able to see very, very clearly who he was. And he's ready to give his life to Christ. Who are you this morning? When you're looking in that mirror of who you are, what do you see? Who do you see? And I don't mean who are you looking at in the crowd. It doesn't matter what anyone else looks like. What do you look like when you're looking at your mirror, at yourself? Who do you see? Do you see the one that has a wonderful, beautiful relationship with the Creator of this world? The one who created you in His very image to be like Him. The one who gave His life for you. Do you see that person? God wants us continually looking in the mirror and understanding who we are. He doesn't want us to walk away and forget who we are. He wants us constantly looking at ourselves. How has God changed you? What do you look like? Are you ready to enter eternity? If eternity were to begin today for all humankind, where would you spend eternity? You can answer that question for yourself right now with absolute certainty. It's not arrogance to know where I'm going to spend eternity. God's told us that. If we look at ourselves, if we evaluate who we are, and we're honest with who we see ourselves, we know where we're going to be. But who you see right now doesn't have to end that way. I love the story when that criminal looks at Jesus or talks to him at the end of his life, at the very last moment, and he says, "Remember me." And Jesus says, "I tell you today." Not in a million years or anything else after you've worked things off. You don't have to do anything. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Where do you want to spend eternity? Do you want to be a child of God? Do you want to know this morning where you stand? You can absolutely know that. It's time to look in the mirror. Who do you see? Do you see the child of God? Do you see the one that's following Jesus Christ? Do you see the one who God created you to be? See the one that's ready for His return. Are you ready for Jesus' return right now? Are you waiting, anxiously waiting for Him to come and take you home? That's what we were created for. That's what we were created for, is to spend eternity with our God. It all begins by giving ourselves to Him. The one who hung on the cross, the one that we were looking at and watching all those people and all the things they were talking about Him. He is with absolute clarity today. We know that He was hung on that cross for me. He hung on the cross for you. And if you will accept Him as your Savior, you can have the same response He gave to that criminal. Today, salvation is yours. I hope this morning when you leave and you can look in the mirror at yourself, you see a child of God, a child of inheritance, one who God is waiting to welcome home. I hope that's who you see. And I hope that's who you choose to see, because it's your choice. You know what you're to look like. What do you look like this morning? If you need to become a child of God, you can be immersed into Jesus Christ this morning and receive all the spiritual blessings that come with that. Paul told us that in Ephesians 1:3. Every spiritual blessing is in Jesus Christ. And we know how we get in Jesus Christ. There's only one way. The Bible only tells us one way to get into Jesus Christ. We're immersed into Him. Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27. The only passages in all the Bible that tell us how to do that. Why? God is not hiding anything from us. He wants us to be His children. Where are you this morning? You're looking in the mirror right now at yourself. Who do you see? Who are you this morning? If there's anything that we can do for you, if you need to respond and be immersed this morning, or you need us to pray with you, or if there's anything that we can do for you this morning, we want to go before God's throne with you as a family. Has a great blessing for us. Whatever we can do for you this morning, we want to do it right now. The invitation is yours. What will your answer be while we stand?